This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome, everyone. So for those who are not familiar with the setup, we have two shiurim. The first shiur is a halacha shiur, and the second shiur is a parasha shiur. They should have two handouts. They're two separate handouts. If you're listening online, please email me j.golker@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the handout. So the first topic in the halacha shiur tonight is entitled Changing One's Name. It's a very, very interesting topic. Are you allowed to change your name? Is it ever appropriate to change your Shem Kodesh? It is connected to the parasha, but I came across this topic sadly in the summer. There was a former student of mine who's now in Eretz Yisrael, and she took very ill. And the discussion was, is it necessary, is it appropriate to change your name? And I just explored the whole topic, and I just thought it would be a good shiur at some point. And it is connected to this week's parasha, Parashas Lech Lecha, because we have two name changes in this week's parasha, Avram and Sarah. Right? The pasuk says, if you look at the first box, V'lo yikari oides shimcha Avram, v'hoye shimcha Avraham ki av hamoin goyim. And then, a few pasukim later, V'yoyma Hashem al Avram, Sarai ishtecha lo sikra shmo, Sarai ki Sara shmo. So we've got two names which are changed in the parasha. One goes Avram to Avraham, and one is Sarai to Sarah. Now, before we explore the halacha involved, and when is it appropriate, if ever, to change a name, let's do a bit of background, just briefly about names. Number one, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Zayin, the Gemara says, Shma Gorin, which means that the name of a person defines your characteristic, defines who you are. Names are fascinating. In fact, the word, who we really are, is our neshama. The body is just the sort of the outer shell of who we are. Imagine an astronaut. I once heard Rabbi Lef describe the concept of guf and neshama to children. Now, how do you describe a guf and a neshama to young children? So he said, have you ever seen an astronaut? You have an astronaut, you know, getting ready to go into his space, into space and into the rocket, and he puts on this big sort of costume, the spacesuit. And you ask the kid, well, where's the astronaut gone? It's because you just see the spacesuit, this sort of bird walking around. So once they understand that the real person is not the actual spacesuit, he's gone inside and that's where he really is, well, you then, you know, you explain, well, there's a goof and there's a shaman. And a goof is just this physical sort of coat that we wear for the duration that we're in this world, but the neshama is the real us. Now, the roots, the middle letters of the word neshama is shin mem, nun shin mem hei, which of course spells shame. The shame of the person really is the essence of the person. Rabbi Melech of the Gen says that there is a connection between the baby and the person that child is named after. That's why it's important to name a child after, you know, someone who, you know, you hope the child will grow up to be like. What happens in situations, you know, in the sort of sometimes in kiruv situations where the grandfather who you're naming after was not a religious Jew? How do you deal with that? So again, it's not a new question, but you can have a situation, the grandfather's name was a non-Jewish name, and the Hebrew name was Avraham, so you can also have in mind Avraham Avinu as well. In addition to the grandfather being named after, you can also have in mind the Shem Kodesh, because it's important. The Arizal notes that the word Shem is Gematria 340, which is also the Gematria of the word Sefer, a book, because ultimately we're all writing our book. The name of the person is meant to, you know, fill the book, become the book. Now, you saw it actually in last week's parashah with Noach. Noach is named Noach. The pasuk says, "Vayikra shmo Noach, lemar ze yenachamenu mema'aseinu me'itzven yodeinu." And the intent was that Noach would lighten the burden. Noach, as Rashi explains at the end of Bereshis, that Noach is going to lighten the burden of not only his family's toil but the whole of the world's toil. This was an agricultural revolution because he created new agricultural tools to change the way they operated. I remember when I was in Poland with the boys, I've seen it a few times. You know, you now you go to the fields and you go to the farms and you see combine harvesters. But you know, you go to, I was in Poland, and you see them working with oxen and with plows and very old-fashioned ways. They're more shitir if you need more. There's some special. So you see that and Noach was the one who introduced that. So all the agricultural tools was there. So Noach's name was a portent of things to come. He lightened, he made people's lives more comfortable. Now there's lots more to say on that. Also of note, that if you understand that the name of the person defines the characteristic of the person, you see a very, very interesting phenomenon. We know that this is a chair and this is a table, right? In Lashon HaKodesh, this is a kise, this is a shulchan. But in any other language, this is merely convention. In Lashon HaKodesh, this has to be a kise and that has to be a shulchan. If we decided amongst ourselves that we're going to call this a table, and this we'll call a chair, and we all, you know, keep to it, we'll get by. We'll understand each other. But in Lashon HaKodesh, this has to be a kiseh, this has to be a shulchan. It's inherent is. The Lashon Shulchan, for example, is connected to the word shlach, to send, and the shulchan is the table. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he sends his bracha through this table. That's why he mustn't sit on the table, right? All this, you know, we've heard that. Is there truth to it? I don't know halachically exactly, but it represents the mizbeach and it represents the receptacle which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down the bracha, and that's what holds the bracha. Harachamon hu yishlach lonu bracha b'bay zeh v'shulchan zeh. Yishlach and shulchan is connected. Now, therefore, if you take, for example, the limbs of the body, which is the heaviest organ in the whole body? The liver, right? The liver, you cheated. Yeah, the liver, right? The liver is the heaviest limb. What is the Lashon HaKodesh for liver? A kovid. Kovid is from the Lashon heavy, right? The word yad. Why is the yad called the yad? The yad has 14 joints. Every finger, the four fingers, has 3 joints, and the thumb has 2 joints. So there are 14 joints in the hand. That is what the hand is. It's 14 joints. That's what gives us ability. The eye. An eye is an ayin. So it's connected to the word of ma'ayan, which is a spring. The eye has to be lubricated. We know of people, I'm sure you'll know, of people who have problems with their eyes. They need to have drops the whole time because there needs to be moisture, there needs to be lubrication in the eye. If there's not, there's a problem. So the word oizen, an ear, is connected to the word moznayim, which is scales, because the balance is always in the ear. Teeth is shinayim. Shinayim is connected to the word l'shanein, l'shinu, which means to break down, which is the job of the teeth. And also shinayim is from the Lashon of two, because it's the only part of us which we have the children's teeth, and then we have the adult teeth. We don't have an arm that sort of disappears, then you know you have the adult arm. So it's only the teeth. So you see that in Lashon HaKodesh, the names go to the very core of what the person, of what the being is. And that's true with names as well. And therefore, given that a name is given to a child, we're reluctant to change the name of that baby, of that person, even when they grow up, because A, it surely defines that essence, but more importantly, as Chazal seemed to say, that parents have a special siyata d'shmaya to name the child the name they're meant to have. Now, I looked around for this, and I came across an interesting tshuva of Moshe Sternbuch, and he quotes the Arizal. Now, it's just interesting to have a quick look at the tshuva, some because it's just he makes a few interesting lines. Just have a look at the bottom box. I mean, technically, you are allowed to change your name. There's no real halachic impediment. If you don't like your name and you want to change your name, there's no halachic protest against it. But it's not done. We only do it, you know, in a situation where a person is desperately ill, or a child is brought up, he or she never had a Jewish name, and that happens in the Kirov world. My father, Zichron Levracha, once told us that he was at a bris. There was a friend or something, a colleague or something of theirs. They were not religious at all, but they managed to, they gave their child a bris. And it came to the bris. My father found the memorial, and he came to the bris. And at the bris, the memorial said, my father was in the, translating between the memorial and the father. And v'korish mo b'Yisrael, it goes quiet. And the memorial says, my father, what's the name of the baby? So my father turned to the father and said, what do you like to call him? And the father said, Raymond. Right? And my father said, but what about a Hebrew name? So he said, I don't know. Yeah, so my father thought on the spot and goes, Yerachmiel. right? So there's a little Yerachmiel, sadly, he's still very truly Raymond, but maybe one day. But if a child, you know, if there wasn't a person there, he had a bris and he didn't have a Hebrew name or whatever it may be, he didn't have a bris, so what happens then? So there are situations where you can change the name, but we're reluctant to do so because Chazal say that the parents have a special siyata d'shmaya, special ruach hakodesh almost, when they name the child, so you don't want to start interfering with that unless there's a real strong reason to do so. Take a look at the bottom, that this is Rav Moshe Sternbuch in Shuvat Van Hoggis in Krach Aleph Simen Tov Reish Dalet. Interesting thing. The child is the bris is delayed, right? It's often the case. The bris is delayed. The baby is very yellow. And sometimes there is a more serious medical problem and you can't have the bris, sometimes not just weeks, but months. So when do you actually name the child? Is it appropriate to not name the child for a long period of time? So look what he says. Ro'isi b'sefer kiris ha-bris, she'em nidche, if the bris has been pushed off, yefar sumu ha-shem, you should publicize the name, k'she'av oyle la-teira, miyad la-chashmoni yomim. As soon as the 8 days have gone, you can't have the bris on time, so do it at the first opportunity after that. V'lo nagu kan kein, but we're not noyig like to do this. V'rak, im kanire yidche l'zman rav, then kerin Hashem lifnei amila. But if it's going to be a long delay, then you name the baby. Now, how much is a long delay and how much is, you know, just after 8 days? You don't do it straight after 8 days. He says, v'ein biyodi likver b'zeh. I can't give any definitive time frame. Avozeh bora esli. One thing that is clear, she'em nis'acha shloshim yoim she'yotz michlal nefel. Once you've gone past 30 days, he's no longer a nefel. Nefel is sort of a sophic whether he'll survive or not survive. He's now, after 30 days, there's a cheskas kashrus, there's a presumption that he's going to live. Ein lahanichu b'li shem l'kula alma. More than 30 days you shouldn't do it. V'af shenim ladayin ein lahanichu b'li shem. Now, I don't know if people are always knowing like this. I think not, to be honest. But people, sometimes the bris can be delayed for many, many weeks. And the kid is known as Tinoik, Ben, or whatever it is. But that's what Rav Moshe Sternbuch writes. Very interesting. I have heard occasions where the child is named at the Pidgin HaBen, and if that sometimes comes before the bris, which is unusual, but it can happen. But that's what now. But here's the, I brought this for the last line. Mavur b'kisve kodesh ha'arizal, he quotes the Arizal, sh'akodesh baruch hu mesoiviv ha'horim she'yikru liyeled shemoi ha'amiti. That HaKodesh Baruch Hu helps the parents come up with the right name. Now, we all know stories, maybe from our own personal experiences, with our own children or family members or friends or whatever, that they were set on a name the whole pregnancy. And all of a sudden they see the baby. No, that name doesn't go. Right? And you have funny stories and similar stories. But that is part of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Siyata D'Shmaya that HaKodesh Baruch Hu gives each child. And therefore we're reluctant to change the name unless a person is very ill or is given a non-Jewish name at birth. Now, what does that mean? What are the reasons to change a name? So I've listed a few things. Number one, when a person, Rachman Litzlan, is very ill, and of course, it's not just that, you know, he's very old and very ill, and that's just sadly the way of life, right? But it's obviously a person is very ill and is younger than expected to have this deadly illness. Then a person may change his or her Hebrew name. Okay. By the way, it's interesting that if the person does not survive more than 30 days after that, then you revert back to the original name. If Rachman Litzlan, the person dies within 30 days of the name change, then that the original name goes on the matzeva, the new name does not stick. If the person survives more than that, that's what it seemed to be, I think that's what I looked into, that's what people seem to say, that more than 30 days and the person lived a sort of a healthy existence beyond that, then the new name sticks to the extent, if you look in the bottom box there, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Gittin, Neven Oezer, in Simen Kuf Kaf Chavtes, Sivyutres, Mi Shenishtane Shmoi, Machmaschoyli, if someone's name was changed because of illness, Af Al Pi Shekonus Utomit B'Shem Rishon, even though he was always called, he's still called by the first name. For example, his name was, Moshe. And they add the name Rafal. So he's been known for 50 years by Moshe. But he's now going to be called Moshe Rafal. But people still call him Moshe. It doesn't make a difference. Because Malkum Shem Hashinu, because the second name is the correct name, and therefore, on a get, for example, if you don't write Moshe Rafal, it won't be a valid get. So it's important to get it right. What are the mechanics of it? The mechanics are that you stand up in shul, And you normally do it at a time when you learn Kriyas HaTorah. So that's a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning or Shabbos afternoon. And you make it, you do it b'tzibur to publicize the name. A person gets the aliyah or lav dafka the aliyah. And then that new name becomes the real name. So one reason to change the name is in the case of illness, like we said. Sometimes non-traditional names, it's appropriate to change that. And there are sometimes backgrounds. I came across this. This is a fellow called Pinchas Waldman. He's one of the Rabbonim in Eish HaTorah. It's Ask the Rabbi or something in Eish HaTorah. And he was asked the following question. Listen to this. We named our daughter, now 4 months, Linar. Now, Linar, okay, she is happy and healthy, but her name has always been a source of great upset for me. I suffered from terrible postpartum depression, and her name always reminds me of that difficult period. Is there any way we can change her name now? And would that be an appropriate thing to do? So the kid's 4 months old, a healthy baby, but the name, you know, brings discomfort to the mother because of the time that it reminds her of. So then he says, he goes through some of the topic, and he says, in your case, it would be fine to add or change your daughter's name. And he gives 2 reasons. Partly because it depresses you greatly, not just slightly. And B, partly because the name, although not Jewish, is not a traditional name. And therefore, there's room perhaps to change it to a more Jewish, traditional Jewish name. So that could be a reason. And another factor is that if the name causes some sort of discomfort, some sort of alienation in the community in which you live, then that could also be a reason to change a name. So for example, you know, if you're given a very sort of a traditional Yiddish type of name, I'm going to be careful, I'm not going to say any names for fear of causing offense. I've learned the hard way. And they're now in a more, I don't know, modern type of community, and that name seems to be, you know, causes discomfort for that person. Or alternative, the other way around. You've got a very, I don't know, very modern Israeli name, and you found yourself in a, you know, you've become Hasidish, and you find yourself in an environment where that's just inappropriate. That also could be grounds, perhaps, to change names, where it causes that degree of discomfort. But the summary is that this week's parasha deals with 2 name changes. Names are fascinating. It really goes to the root of the person. It defines the essence of the person. And on occasion, there could be situations to change the name. We're reluctant to do so because of this concept of Kodesh Baruch Hu gives siyata d'shmaya to the parents to name the right name. So, but there are occasions where we may be able to do so. And one final sort of point. In the Akedah, coming up next week's parasha, when the Malach comes and stops Avraham, he says, Avraham, Avraham. He says it twice. So famously, the Zohar says that every single person has 2 names. The name we have down in this world and the name in Shemayim. And our job in life is to try and fulfill the potential which is inherent within our name, to mirror the earthly name to the heavenly name. And when the Malach said, Avraham, Avraham, at that moment in time, Avraham Avinu fulfilled his potential, and the Avraham de Le'el equaled the Avraham de la Tata, the Avraham, earthly Avraham, equaled the Avraham above. And therefore, the hope, when we name the child, is that he'll live up to that, he or she will live up to that heavenly name that he's been given. Okay, we'll leave it there.
It's also when someone changes their name to change their muscle.
The point is, you're absolutely right. And that is that the name of a person defines the person. And therefore, if the person was X and it changed to Y, then it could be that the muzzle of X is very different and the muzzle of Y is different, and that's one of the concepts. And that really goes to the root of the concept of tefillah as well. Because in tefillah, you know, you're trying to change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. So the answer, of course, is that we change ourselves, and therefore we become different, and therefore the situation changes. That's sort of the mechanics of how it works. Yeah, okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.